This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Outside the Round with me, Matt Barile. Today, a very special guest. If you like Netflix reality shows, you've probably seen her on there. She's a social media personality. She does a lot of line dancing, a lot of fitness stuff, and is someone that's here in Nashville, repping Robertson County up in White House, Tennessee. We got our girl, Miss Autumn Ann Nielsen. Are you all recovered from the Josh Terry birthday bash shit show last night? What a time that was.
Oh my God, that was so fun. I love to go to bed early. I'm like a 9 p.m. type of gal, okay? And I swear, at like 9:30, I was like, you know, I won't be here much longer, like maybe another hour or so. I didn't get home until 3 a.m.
Oh, wow. So you ended up, was it a Red Door night?
It wasn't a Red Door night. I left once Losers closed.
Oh, so it was a Losers night. Okay,
it was a Losers night.
Nice.
It was a Losers night.
Nice. Hell yeah. Because we got there, I want to say around 12 is when I got there, because we had our event at Odie's, but we were like, we got to come see Josh Terry.
I got there at 6 p.m.
Yeah, you were there for the whole thing. You introduced one of the rounds, right?
I did. I didn't know I was going to, so I wasn't necessarily prepared. So I pulled the whole beginner host move where I just had his like list of the names on my wallpaper screen. And I was like, so we got, and it was great.
Who was it? Do you remember who we played? Which time slot was it?
It was the 6, no, it was the 7 p.m. because I didn't.
So was that Alyssa?
Yeah. No, Alyssa was the first round.
Oh, she was on the first one. I got to look up who was on the first one from Josh last night, because he had a bunch of them. He had a million people play last night, because we do rounds all. We do events like that all the time in Nashville with Rage Rowdy. And I've never done one where it's that many people. That was a damn marathon.
That was awesome, though. It was so good.
Yeah. I love Josh Terry. How'd you first get connected with him?
He shot me a DM one day and it was like, yo, you want to come on the podcast? And I was like, yeah, of course. But I had never heard of him until then, and now I love him.
You're in the family.
I am in the family.
Yeah, I first met Josh Terry. It was back when I worked with Trey Lewis during the Dick Down in Dallas days, and we did a show during COVID, but we were in Georgia, so everything was still open down there. Did a show at a place called the Crazy Bowl, this was back when, before it was the Josh Terry show, and he was like, it was like the bearded bastard thing. It was his OG days, and he showed up there, and I was like, oh man, this guy's going to be a problem, and we've been best buds ever since.
He's rowdy. I love it.
He is a rowdy man. So your 7 o'clock slot, you had Kimberly Atwood, Mark Oriott, Audra McLaughlin, and Lexi Liu.
Yes.
Some good homies there. Did Mark play his song about fishing?
I'm sure he did.
His masturbator song?
Oh, yeah. My God. I can't remember if he played that, though.
He had to have. How do you play Josh Terry's birthday anniversary round and not, if you have a song called Masturbator,
I'm
not
sure
play
he
it?
Did. Listen, I was tired. I was still trying to find my second wind.
Yeah. So you're 23.
Yeah.
And are you from White House originally?
Born and raised in Michigan.
Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So what led you down here?
I never felt like I was built for the North. I knew that pretty much from a very young age. And so we used to come to Tennessee all the time for like family vacay. You know, when I was younger, it was like Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge and like
Dollywood.
All of that. Yep. And then once I hit like 16, we were like, okay, let's go to, Nashville. Of course, at the time, like people were kicking me out by like 8 p.m. But but I just loved it. I loved it. And I knew I wanted to be down south. I didn't know at the time it was going to be Tennessee. Because I jumped around. I was in Texas for a little bit.
Okay.
When I turned 18, I was like, bye. And I moved to Denton, Texas. And then I ranched out in Missouri for a little bit. And then I decided, you know what? I'm going to go live in Nashville for a little bit. So, and then I haven't left. So, yeah.
How long have you been here?
Been here since May of 23. So not too terribly long.
Okay. It's a little over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you moved to Nashville at 21.
I moved to Nashville at 20.
At 20, so you weren't even...
I wasn't even legal to drink yet.
And were you living in White House the whole time, or have you bounced
around? I bounced around quite a bit. I lived in Murfreesboro first.
Okay.
Yeah.
A bit of a haul. Those bars there, Whiskey Dicks.
Uh-huh. Whiskey Dicks. You know, there's people that swear by it. It kind of scared me a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
It's intimidating.
It's very intimidating. You know, I have to be in such like a drunk state to be at Whiskey Dicks, I think. Like, I can't go expecting to get drunk. I need to go already drunk to survive Whiskey Dicks. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
And there's dancing there, right?
There is. Yeah. 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 There is.
So when did you first get into, because I feel like the dancing, fitness, country music, just like redneck shit. Yeah. Like that's seems to be what the brand is for what you do.
Yep. 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 Dancing, actually, I had no dance experience whatsoever. I had two left feet. I just never thought. If you would have asked me, like, when I was younger, hey, you're going to be a dancer one day, I would have laughed my ass off. I've been like, that is the funniest shit I've ever heard. It wasn't until I turned 21. It was, like, 20th of August, I think. I don't know. And I met somebody on a Facebook girls group. Because ever since I had moved in, like, May of that year, no friends. I was just, like, raw dog in life, okay? I knew nobody. My family wasn't here. I was just a 20-year-old in a, you know, area where there's a lot of drinking and bars, and I couldn't even do it.
Yeah.
So I had, like, nobody. And then, so I met this girl on a Facebook girls group, and she's like, yo, come to Nashville Palace. And I was like, okay, because I can drink now. Cool. So I went, and then I remember a guy asking me to dance, and I was like, dude, that's just, I thought that was only in movies.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. And then I went out there, and I just completely made a complete fool of myself. But anyway, and then I was hooked. And now I do it competitively, and I teach, so.
Yeah, and they just had the big event over there, right?
NDF, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, how does that all work? Because I'm buddies with, his name, I think it's Taylor. Taylor Winston. Taylor's been a friend of the family from back in his country rebel days, and I know him and his wife are very involved over there. And it's a huge scene.
It's huge. It is massive. I did volume one and volume two. I was a brand ambassador for them. I didn't do this past volume, which sucked because I got to see everybody doing it.
But you were still out there.
I had FOMO. Yeah, I went to the pre-party. I still partied it up. I just didn't go to the actual event this time. Took a little break. Because the dancing scene, I've kind of weaned myself away from the competitive side. And now I really just do it as a hobby at this point.
Yeah.
And to teach on occasion. So I didn't go this time around, but it is a hoot and hollering good time.
Yeah. How do you judge, like, competitive? Because is it like two-step? Is it like different categories and events? Or how does it work?
There's been a couple comps where, like, they judge you separately, but, like, two-steppers still dance with the country swingers. But typically they do try to do, like, different categories. So you have your West Coast, you have your country swing, you got your two-step going around and progressive, you got stationary. There's so much that goes into it. It's actually kind of insane. Like, my forte is two-step and country swing.
Okay.
I tried West Coast. I think that's where, like, my feet kind of, like, stop a little bit. Like, I just, there's so much groove into that. But there's a lot. It's grown so much. It's actually insane.
Yeah.
Like, it is crazy.
How much. And to be here when you're here right now, when it's like, I joke that Nashville, because I've been here since 2018. Mm-hmm. I moved from New York when I was 23, when I was your age, and moved down here. And I've been here for freaking coming up on 7 years now, which has been awesome. Best decision I ever made. But I say that, like, Nashville, we're having our Sunset Strip moment.
Oh, 100%.
Like how, like, back in the day, like Motley Crue, Whitesnake, like Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. Mm-hmm. Nashville is that right 100%. Now.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And dancing's a huge part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Even when I had just started dancing, like, it didn't feel nearly as big as it was. Like, people were just learning. Like, I remember I started taking classes, and the people I took classes with were all, like, just blown away by how much already, just in the short amount of time, it's just blown up. Like, it's everywhere now. I had never even heard about it until I went to Nashville Palace, and now I hear about it everywhere.
Yeah. Have you traveled doing it?
I went to Texas for a comp, but I haven't done a ton of traveling, but I actually am going to Canada in October.
Oh, have you been to Canada before?
I've never even been out of the United States.
See, I haven't either. I haven't either. And I've had a passport, like, since I moved down here.
Yeah.
Because my mom was like, you got to have a passport. I'm like, okay, well. And now I use it because I don't have that real ID thing. Mm-hmm. So I have to fly with my passport.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I am putting it to use.
Yeah.
But I don't have any stamps in there. Where in Canada are you going?
So we're going to be in Edmonton, and I think it's October 16th, I think.
Oh, nice. That's exciting.
Something like that. Well, it's ironic because I go to Mexico right before that. So I'm going to Mexico from, like, the 4th to the 11th, and then I come home for 5 days, and then I got to go to Canada.
What are you going to Mexico for?
Just funsies.
Just a fun trip?
Just fun. Yeah.
That'll be cool.
Yeah. So cool. I'm really just full throttle just going in now, since I'm like, well, I'm going out of the United States anyway, so might as well do two trips in 1 month. But I'm actually going to Canada to be a featured line dancer at a saloon
That's exciting.
An instructor. And so it'll be fun.
That is fun. So how does, a girl become a social media like personality, like, because the number, like the following on TikTok, it's like what? It's like over 400K or something.
It's crazy, right? 818,000
on TikTok.
And then on Instagram is 425,000.
That's crazy. 427. Like that's so many people.
Yeah.
How did that kind of get started? And when were you like, I guess I'm going to post videos on TikTok and Instagram?
To be honest, I never intended for it to go anywhere. And I feel like everyone says that, but I really didn't. I was just so bored. And I've always had such a big personality. Yeah. Like I'm very out there.
Yes. In the short time of knowing you, I can understand that. Yeah.
I'm a big personality. And so it was around COVID time where I really started picking it up because I was like, everyone's bored. Everyone needs a little laugh. I need something to do. God forbid. I'm losing my mind. And so I started posting like, you know, the typical run-of-the-mill start on TikTok where you're doing all the trends and like all of that stuff. And it wasn't going nowhere. But at the time I was like, that's fine. Whatever. I didn't think it was going to go anywhere anyway. And then one day I said a dad joke that I loved and it blew up.
What dad joke was it?
Oh my gosh, it was about, okay, hold on. Oh shoot. It was about deer balls. How did I forget
deer
it?
Deer balls?
Yeah, yeah.
Like deer testicles?
Deer testicles, yeah.
Like deer balls.
Yeah.
What a way to start.
I know.
Come out of the gate.
Oh, what's the cheapest meat you can buy?
I mean, I'm guessing now it's deer balls.
Deer balls, they're under $1.
That's pretty good.
And it blew up. And I think the reason it blew up is because, like, you know, you use the term dad joke, but, like, you don't see a ton of women going on there and just saying these raunchy-ass dad jokes. And so I was just like, you know what? Now's my time to shine.
Especially because how old would you have been then? 18?
I think I was
17, 18? Because that'd be 19, 5 years ago. 19, 20? Yeah. Yeah, so you're young. Mm-hmm. A young girl saying they're under $1.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it blew up.
How many views did that one get?
Shoot. I think it got, well, at the time, I think it was like trailing like 300,000. It's probably grown a lot since then, obviously. but I mean, even just to get 10,000, I was like, oh my God. Like I was losing my mind. And then from then on, I was just like, okay. And so I started doing dad jokes more often and they kept doing so good. And then it kind of just transitioned into the hear me out type of viral
I've seen the
content.
Hear me out stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep, which went huge. And from there, I've just been flowing. Doing my thing. I don't know. It was shocking to say the least, but hey, it turned into a job now. So I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'm stuck with it, but I love it. So it's fine.
Yeah. Now, how do you balance that side of it with the hear me out, the dad jokes with your fitness stuff that I know that's a big part of your content, your life and your brand.
Yeah.
And then with the dancing, like how do you kind of balance all three of those where it's like the comedy forward facing, I like to work out. You should like being healthy and working out too.
Yeah.
And everybody should try dancing at least once.
Well, the good thing about the dancing and the comedy is they kind of fit in really nicely. You know, because for me, one of the things I love about dancing was, you know, you go from trying to be funny in content, and that was the only way I could really express myself.
Yeah.
And then the moment I got into dancing, I was like, I found a whole new way to express and show my personality without even saying anything. You know, so it all kind of just tied together in such a beautiful, flowy way. And I love that about dancing. With the fitness aspect, I think my whole brand essentially is, yes, it's that redneck shit. It's country, you know, all of that stuff. But at the same time, I'm very much that type of girl that's like, take no shit. Like, do your thing. Get fit. Be intimidating. It's dope. You know, like, that's kind of the vibe I'm trying to give off because I have always been very much into the gym. But it all kind of like strayed from how I was when I was younger. I was very much a pushover. I was a goody two shoes. I was like, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times. You know what? It's probably still my fault. You know, like I was just like, I wanted everybody to be happy. You know, I was such a pushover. It was such a pain. And then when I started to grow up, I think the gym kind of, you know, realigned me with the fact that I was like, you know what? Maybe just take care of yourself for once, you know, be powerful in your own right and don't let people step on you all the damn time, you know? And it kind of brought into that confidence that I needed, you know? So it all kind of just ties back into that whole do you for you, you know, all you got is you at the end of the day. It's just, I don't know. It all fits together in some way.
Yeah, it makes total sense, yeah, honestly. Yeah. And I feel like I learned so much about myself mm-hmm. in my early 20s by mm-hmm. moving down here.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like you learn so much. Everybody does.
Yeah.
From age like 20 to right where you're at now, yeah, at 23,
yeah,
is when I mean, I didn't really figure out. I'm still figuring out who the fuck I yeah. am and what yep. I do and everything. Yep. But like 25, 26 is when it like really set in.
Oh, yeah.
So to be doing what you're doing now at such a young age, what's the family and friend reaction of like people who have known you forever uh-huh. from being that pushover goody two shoes yeah. to now
yeah.
being this tatted chick that's doing what you're doing, like
yeah.
how's that mm-hmm. kind of been with
yeah.
family and friends back home in Michigan mm-hmm. or wherever they're living mm-hmm. at?
It's been, I wouldn't say it's been smooth. I think it's been a little bumpy. There's been hiccups because, yeah, like I said, you know, I was like, I'm never going to smoke. I'm never going to drink. I'm never going to get a tattoo. Oh, my God, I was so bad. I was so cliche. Anyway, you know, because you want to believe that at the time, you want to make your parents happy. You want to make your family happy and be the perfect child, you know, and that was my goal. I was like, I'm going to be the perfect child
yeah.
until, you know, I hit those teenage years and I started being a little rebellious because I grew up so fast. I don't feel like I had much of a childhood as much as I would have liked to.
Yeah.
And because I grew up so fast, the moment I was at a point where I was allowed to like go off on my own, I was like, see ya. You know, so I was kind of pushing the buttons a little bit with my family and trying to rush that because I wanted the independence so bad, you know, and it's just, so in the beginning of the career, you know, my mom and my dad, you know, well, my dad doesn't really say much. He's just proud of me for being funny because yeah. I got a lot of my personality from
dad
him.
Jokes.
Dad jokes. I got it from my dad. but my mom was definitely my momager to begin. Like she was hype about it. And then when I started to be a little more rebellious, that's where we kind of had those hiccups where she was like, what the hell is she doing? Oh,
yeah.
My God, this is not good. And then we'd have a good slow roll. And then once I really started to pick up and actually be able to provide for myself full time and all that stuff, she has been so supportive. She's amazing. I love her so much. She's definitely, she's very proud. You know, she just wants me to do something that makes me feel good. And she knows that I've always wanted to go that extra mile and show people my personality, you
yeah.
know, because I always tried to. And during family gatherings, it was like, oh, look at Autumn. She's trying to steal the show again. And I was like, sorry. and so she knew I was meant to do it one day. It was just getting there was a little rocky the right way, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
But now that I'm here, she is so supportive.
Do they get down here pretty often?
My mom does. Yeah. My dad, he's a busy man. He's a blue collar man. So him, not as much. But my mom, she's even coming this weekend. She's always trying to find a way down here and vice versa. I mean, it's an 8-hour drive to Michigan. So
yeah.
And I love to drive. So I'm always in Michigan.
See, I'm a big driving person
yeah.
myself
because yep.
we go on the road and work with a lot mm-hmm. of festivals. And I used to be on the road as a
yep.
tour manager.
Yeah.
So I used to be gone all
yep.
the damn
yep.
time driving
yep.
vans and mm-hmm. buses and this and that
yep.
and the other thing.
Yep.
Where in Michigan did you grow up? Talk a little bit about that.
Kalamazoo area.
Oh, home of Derek
yeah.
Jeter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
yep,
I'm a big Yankees fan, as
oh,
you
yeah.
can see here. So
yep.
shout
Derek
out to
Jeter.
Kalamazoo.
Yes, yeah, shout out. No, Kalamazoo area. I went to school in a very small town when I was in middle school. It was kind of like Kalamazoo. We lived right on the line of Plainwall and Kalamazoo, which Kalamazoo would be more of like your city.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit, little city. And then you go to Plainwall, which is your small, small town. So I was like right on the line. So I would go to Plainwall for school, small town, go to Target in the city. You know, so I was playing both worlds a little bit, which was a little confusing because I didn't know who the hell I was at the time.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like, man, there is something about me that just does not fit in here at all. I was like, I could not put my finger on it. I was just like, I don't fit in. I feel weird as shit. Like,
yeah.
I have no friends. I'm like, I do not know who I am. And I think that's when I started really jumping around down south right when I could, was because there's something missing and I need to find it. And then the moment I started jumping down south, I was like, oh, and that like kind of like that bulb came out and I was like, oh, this makes total sense.
Yeah.
I'm just not meant to be in the north.
Yeah. You got to travel around and find where you got to be. Like
mm-hmm.
for me, it's like I gained more of an appreciation for
mm-hmm.
being from the New York City area
yeah.
once I moved down here.
Exactly.
Growing
yep.
up, I was like, I wish the city could just float away to England.
Uh-huh.
Like, leave
right.
me Yankee Stadium,
right.
Madison Square
yeah.
Garden, Statue of Liberty's
yep.
kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, leave me that,
uh-huh.
but the rest of this shit
can go.
But then I moved away and I'm like, yeah. There's a reason they say if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So do you have a little bit more appreciation for home now that you've been gone?
I do. I do. 100%. Because obviously when you live there full time, you're kind of just like, God, I hate this place. Like, yeah. Oh, it sucks. And then when you, like, I travel back, like even just the last time I traveled back, I'm like, I do love certain parts of it.
The
like
nostalgia.
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, I'm the same way as you. I'm like, if I could just keep the lakes, like give me the lakes.
Yeah.
I don't want the rest of it. Just give me the lakes. And like the summer and the fall is just so beautiful in Michigan.
Yeah, summer up north, like this over the past month, I've gotten to go up to Wisconsin.
Yep.
I was in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I was in Illinois. We were in Iowa this summer. Like the upper Midwest in the summer. Ohio. We did a festival in Michigan last year. They didn't do it this year. It was called Tailgates and Tall Boys in Midland. Yep, yep. So we help out. I was hosting the hosting that last year.
Yeah.
So it's a cool vibe up there.
Is.
And
it
it's
is.
Just just a big old party.
It is.
You know?
It really
so
is.
There's something special. I mean, it makes sense. Michigan is very country too.
It is.
People don't realize that. Like
they do not.
What do they call them? The Oopers or the
Youpers?
The Youpers. Oopers. Sorry, Upper
Peninsula. You know what? It's
folks.
Okay. It's fine. He didn't mean to.
And it's like, I mean, Kid Rock's All Summer Long is about summer in Michigan.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm.
So growing up there, what'd you like to do and shit?
Oh man, I'm not gonna lie to you. I was engulfed full swing into softball. I don't think much of my life was very eventful other than softball. That was, I thought one day I was going to make it big, you know,
Jenny Finch kind of stuff.
100%. Cause I was the pitcher. My brother was a baseball player. He was also a pitcher. So we were just that pitching family. And, so that's pretty much what took over most of my life when I was there was just softball, you know, and then school. How old was I? I was probably, I was in community college. So I was like,
what were you studying? Or were you just going to go?
I thought I was going to be a nurse, you know, and big respect to all the nurses out there. Love you. But when COVID hit, it kind of changed my mind a little bit in terms of my profession. And so I took a year off. Well, what I said was going to be a year off. I was like, I'm just going to take the summer, you know, and figure things out. And then I never went back because then I started social media and I was like, well, you know what? I don't need a degree. I'm fine. So
if you had been a nurse and still done the social media thing, that could have been electric.
It could.
Like social media nurse that also line dances and the fitness and telling dad jokes.
Mm-hmm. Oh
like nurse dad jokes.
Yeah. That, you know, you're not wrong.
That could have been crazy.
You are not wrong.
That could have worked.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yep, but there was a, I can't even remember where or the name of it for the life of me, but I had went and saw my first rodeo, I think, not, like, it was when I was in Texas. And when I came back home to Michigan, I moved back, I had this desire. I was like, I need to know what it's like to be on one of those beasts. Like, I wanted to bull ride so bad. And and I was just like, you know what, break my bones. I do not care. I need to know what it's like.
Yeah.
We found a place that held you could go jump on a bull for like $10 every Monday. And I was like
signing waivers, right?
Well, signing waivers.
Wear a helmet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, certain people didn't, but they made me. It's fine. It's fine. I was a beginner. It's fine. I had the full getup. Yeah. And I didn't have anything, so I had to steal other people's. So I'm like in these big vests that don't fit me, this helmet that's massive. Like I can barely hold my head up. But I was just determined. I remember I was in the gym and I had gotten a yoga ball, like an exercise ball and a resistance band. And I put it around my legs and I put it under my arm. And I was in the gym and I was just like on my yoga ball. And everybody was just looking at me like, what the hell is this girl doing? And sure enough, I show up. My mom and my dad come. My mom's nervous as shit. She's like, no, I don't want this to happen. And I got on them. Now, granted, they were little baby bucking bowls. Okay. Yeah. I'm fully aware. But, you
still
know.
Still a bowl.
It's still a bowl. And so they put me on one, and it was more of a good gallop. So I'm not even going to say I'm 100% proud of going 8 seconds because I pretty much just galloped around on this tiny little bowl the whole time. But then I was like, no, give me something that bucks. So then the next time around, they're like, okay, we'll see what we can do. You know, they didn't tell me who they were putting me on. They just threw me in the chute. Beat me up a little bit. And then the moment that gate or the shoe opened, my ass went right over the horns. I was whoop and fell right down. But man, I was hooked. I loved that shit. There was something about it. The soreness the next day. Oh God. So good. It was so good. But if I would have known about that sooner, I probably would have broken some bones, but I didn't learn about it until like a few months before I moved here. So
Yeah, I've been to, I want to say, a couple rodeos. The one that we were involved with, that, have you heard of Bulls, Bands, and Barrels?
Yep.
You've been down there. Mm-hmm. So I know the guys that put that on very, very well.
Yeah.
And it is a spectacle. Like the freestyle bullfighting thing where it's the crazy bastards like flipping over the bulls and shit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And then they have a concert after it. We was in Kentucky, funny enough. It was Wyatt Flores headlined and Treaty Oak opened at the horse park of Kentucky.
Yeah.
So it's like where all the nice horses are.
Yep.
We're watching this. It was just redneck heaven.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. I love it. Do you get to a lot of concerts? Are you a big music person?
I love music. I don't get to a ton. I'm more of like that small concert venue type of girl.
Like clubs.
Yes.
Intimate.
Yes. Yeah. Like the live music, the writer's rounds. That's my shit. I love that stuff. You know, but I do when I can. I do get to concerts. I went to CMA Fest. I saw Kojo and all of them. So that was really cool. I did love that. But I don't get to as many as I'd like to. I would next year like to go to more of the bigger festivals.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
That's the world that we're in.
Yeah,
so come on. Like that's what we do.
That's
so
my next goal.
That's like next year. I think I'm looking at being on the road probably like 20 weekends next year for festivals.
Because
what they have us do, they have me host host the stages.
Yep.
I'm the clown on stage.
Love that.
Throwing out t-shirts and bringing chubby rednecks on stage to shotgun beers and race and do push-ups on stage, do all kinds of crazy shit. They're fun. Have you ever been to a festival?
I have not.
They're wild.
Yeah.
They're wild. They're like, that's a different, and it's like, some of them we camp at.
Mm-hmm.
So like, even though we're still involved and like, we're there selling merch and like, we're like a fixture of the festival, we still camp and we roll like 20 deep. We're tent camping at this thing.
Damn.
We got our buddy grilling up hot dogs. Yeah. We got cases of Surfside and shit.
Like
it's a party. There's something special about it.
No, I've always wanted to go.
Do you have like a festival in mind that you want to go to? Because you can't just like country music. You probably like a little bit of everything, don't you?
I do. Yeah. The only thing I don't like, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, is I've just never been a pop girl. I just can't get into pop. But like I'm more of a like classic rock. You'll get me going crazy on some Nickelback. I'm not
butt rock.
Lie.
We're working on our next butt rock night. Details coming soon. Have you seen us do those before? Have you heard of those?
Mm-mm.
Last one we did was actually in conjunction with Nickelback. They weren't there. It was Chad's birthday, so they were in Cabo as a Chad Kroeger does. It's his birthday. Everybody goes to Cabo.
Yep.
But we did it at Barstool.
Oh my gosh, I was there.
Yeah, that was us. Yeah, nothing but rock night. Yeah, Nickelback night. Yeah.
I was there with Josh Terry. That was the day I filmed the podcast with him.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, so I didn't even know about it.
That was us. Yeah,
yeah, and
that's
what
we do.
I was doing the podcast. Well, I knew your face looked familiar.
Yeah, we're working on our next one.
Yeah.
So details coming soon. But we've had we've had Josh Ross play that. We had one of my favorite performances, and it's because she's always been like a little sister to me, is Ella Langley. We've known Ella since she was in the van on the Dick Down in Dallas tour opening for Trey. She sang Theory of a Dead Man, Bad Girlfriend.
Yep.
And it was like, this is awesome. We've had Brooke Lee sing Crazy Bitch. Like Cassidy Daniels always sings Evanescence.
Yeah.
Bring Me to Life.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's a badass night. Oh, so we're working on our next one. So cool that music's back now, too.
I know. I love it. I was so sad when it went away.
Who are your favorite of the butt rock bands? Like, who would be like your, if we were to do like a top three or top five? And I'll tell you if they're not butt rock. I'm happy to correct you.
I'll be honest.
So you said Nickelback, so there's one. Like,
that's
who else
about
would you
it.
Put in there? Oh, you're not a.
I am.
You don't
okay.
like Creed?
No, Creed's great.
Yeah, that's what
I
it's
do like
Creed.
Creed. I do like Creed. I will say, okay, Nickelback, Creed, and then there's one other that I'm thinking of because that's pretty much all I listen to when I work out.
Three Doors Down, Seether.
Oh, don't even get me started with Three Doors Down.
Limp Bizkit.
See, you're naming a whole bunch, and I didn't even know that fell into that category.
Of course,
I didn't even know that
was a category. Nothing but rock. 90s, 2000s, hard rock. Corn. Corn is butt rock.
Oh, yeah. Good old Corn.
Tantric.
Give us some Corn. No, it's...
Crossfade.
It's definitely Three Doors Down, Creed, and Nickelback are my go-to.
Those are your top three?
Those are my top three. I go ham over them. They're all I listen to at the gym. I have an obsession.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do we work out at, like, a fancy gym, or do we... Do we Planet Fitness it? Like, what?
Well,
are we...
I was Planet Fitnessing it. I'm not gonna lie.
That's what I've always done, just from being on the road. Because when you're
thing,
on tour, it's great.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people don't know this. A lot of tour buses do not have showers on them. So what you'll do is, as the tour manager, I would tell the bus driver, "Hey, there's gonna be a Planet Fitness here. go park. You bus driver, you can sleep. Guys will go eat here, and if anybody needs to shower, everybody's got a Planet Fitness membership. Yeah. We'll go shower, and if anybody wants to work out, go do there, and we'll roll out.
Yeah, like, there you go. Nope. Yeah, I'm all about saving the money. I would love to go to one of those bougie ass gyms. Don't get me wrong.
Well, you could probably get a membership if you tell them you're doing content there.
Yeah, honestly, I could.
I could flex on that.
I guess I haven't. No pun intended. I haven't tried.
So there's a gym. There's a gym my girlfriend used to work out at that a bunch of WWE guys, I forget the name of it. It's not far from Colorado Grill. It's there in White House. It's like Just Fit.
Just Fit. I've been in there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. I have been in there. Right now I'm going to Crunch in Hendersonville, which I actually do genuinely love. I think it's great. It's small, but it's not too small.
Yeah. I like Hendersonville a lot. There's a lot of good spots over there. To me, it's just I live right around here. So it's like, you got to go all the way around the fucking lake to get there. Yeah. So it's just a little bit of a haul. Hendersonville has always been a treat.
So nice.
We're doing an event there in Hendersonville coming up too. It's called Pig Fest. So it's
pop out.
3-day event. Mm-hmm. Normally it's just 2 days. They always do the barbecue.
Yeah.
Where they have a bunch of pitmasters come out, grill ribs. They smoke ribs and barbecue and this, that. They have like the pig where you can go up and like literally pull pieces off the pig. It's crazy.
That's awesome.
A community fundraiser. Then there's a concert. This year it's the Oak Ridge Boys. It's Exile, and I forget who else is on there, but I'll be hosting that. Mm-hmm. And then the night before, Thursday night, it's a wrestling night, pro wrestling, at Veterans Park in Hendersonville.
Don't even get me started. I used to be such a WWE fiend when I was younger. Yeah. Like, me and my brother would put mattresses in the basement and, like, do WWE moves. I still remember us to this day going, like, my brother going, RKO, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that was, oh, my God, I loved it.
Yeah, the Thursday night pro wrestling is going to be crazy.
That's amazing.
There's like, I think eight matches going on too. I gotta pull it up. Pig Fest is going to be fucking crazy this year. Shout out to Andy Gilley. It's put on by the Parks Department of Hendersonville.
Okay.
I mean, just look at this chaos. Like, this event's just going to be pure chaos.
Dude.
It's like a bunch of wrestling. It's like eight different matches. There's like guys from the WWE like wrestling.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
There's a midget match. There's a Micromania. Then there's a 5-way high school, like all guys that went to high school in the 615. Yeah. Then there's a Lucha Libre Spectacular. Then there's a Superstars single match. Our buddy Eric Young's in that.
Yeah.
He used to wrestle in TNA and WWE. Then there's a ladies match. Then there's a tag team extravaganza. Then there's a concession stand brawl. And then there's Jeff Jarrett's All-Star Slam, where it's like, I think eight people are involved in that.
Damn. Put me in the ladies wrestling. I'll go out there. I'll
you seem like you're on the scrappier side.
Oh, I'm scrappy. Yeah. If I put my heart and soul into it, I think I could do some damage.
That's wild. So speaking of heart and soul and chaos, talk about your Netflix experience.
Oh man.
The Circle. So I'll be honest, I'm not a big reality TV guy. Like, I've watched Survivor a little bit, but I'm not like huge into I could watch Jersey Shore growing up because that was like my neck of the woods and everybody watched like Buck Wild, the West Virginia version. RIP to that guy that died while mudding in the truck in West Virginia. I think his name was Shane. But what was The Circle? Like, what is it and how was it?
So The Circle came about during like around COVID time. The whole premise of it was all of the competitors, I think you'd call them, or like cast members, we are all put into separate apartments and we can't like go out into the hallway without a blindfold and earmuffs on because we cannot know who's in the other apartments. We can't hear anything or we can't see anything. Okay. God forbid. Because the whole premise is you either go in as yourself or you go in as a catfish and then you build a profile. And
is it like a dating thing?
It's not a dating thing. No, I mean, some people use it as a dating thing. I did not. You go in as yourself or you go in as a catfish and you talk and play games with every other cast member. But the whole thing is we have to decide like based off of our pretty much DM chats. It's like kind of a mix between like DM and like Tinder profiles and all that stuff. We have to decide, is that person legit and genuine or are they a catfish? Like, because you can go in and you can pick, like, say, your brother's photos and use your brother's photos and pretend and talk like your brother. And the whole goal is to get to the end and win either as a catfish or as yourself.
So what were you?
I went in as myself.
Okay.
I did not last long. Spoiler alert. I did not last long.
Has it aired yet or is it still?
Oh, yeah. It aired in April of last year. April last year. Yep. So I had watched like the first two seasons and then I kind of stopped watching it. But I remember I was down bad with the flu one day and I was bored out of my mind. And I just happened to see that they were, you know, taking, you know, auditions and everything for The Circle. And I was like, well, I'm sick. I'm not doing anything else. Might as well.
Yeah.
And so literally I had the sniffles and I sent like a video through about why I'd be a great pick for The Circle, not expecting it to go anywhere. And then all of a sudden I went through the whole audition process and I made it. And I do not know how to this day. I really don't.
Do you still have like people from the show that you keep in touch with?
A little bit, not too terribly much. Like the winner, Brandon, I keep in touch with him. Kyle, I still follow most of the cast members and all that stuff. But we don't like get together. We're so scattered. Everybody's all over the map. So it's kind of hard to get together. But it was really fun, except I didn't know that I wasn't going in at the very start. So I was in Michigan having dinner with my family one day when I got a call. They were like, yo, can you come like sooner than expected to do the show? And I was like, how soon? They were like, tomorrow. So I had to drive my butt all the way back to Murfreesboro, pack a bag, just then the next day get on the plane and go to film. And I thought I was going in as one of the OG cast members. But what I didn't realize was I was actually going in the middle of the show.
Oh.
Like, they just threw me in, which sucked so much because everybody already had their alliances built. And then here I come in, and I'm just like, what's going on? Hey, what's up? Like, yo. But it was a good time, but it definitely taught me that I am not a reality TV girl.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather play a whole different character than have to go in to, like, these types of reality TV shows and be, like, have no privacy for 24/7, be on mic all the time, yeah. You know, and you couldn't have connection to the outside world. We didn't have phones. We didn't have TV. We didn't have anything. I have never done so many like crossword puzzles, read so many books or taken so many naps in my life because you had nothing else to do. Like, we had like a little basketball hoop on the like the doors of our apartments that we could use. But that was about it. But it was a little traumatizing, but it's good for the resume. So it was, all in all, a good experience.
Yeah, did you get a lot of people reaching out after that were like fans of the show?
I did. I was actually expecting, because being in social media, you get a lot of hate, but you get really used to it. You know, it's just, you grow very thick skin. And being on reality TV opens up a whole nother door for that sort of, you know, attention. So I was expecting some hate, but I got a lot of love after that show. Like, I was blown away because I did get, I got a little, tortured when I was in The Circle. I had a rough go when I was on the show, and people were very, very supportive and very, very appreciative. Like, I told myself before I went on, I was like, nobody's gonna see my ass crying on live TV. Like, it's not happening. And then my ass cried full blown.
Oh no.
Like, just bawled my eyes out on TV. And I was like, oh. So that's out there forever. But I got a lot of love for it. So
yeah,
I can't complain.
Yeah, how would you describe your followers? Is it a lot of female? Is it a lot of male? Is it kind of a split? Because I know being a female in that, and you do some modeling work as well. Mm-hmm. How would you describe the Autumn Ann following base?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I'm very proud of it now. I wasn't very proud of it before. You know, when I had first started, and it wasn't as much the comedy aspect. It was like, I'm not gonna lie, it was like 90% men, you know, and that was still before I was even 21, you know, because I had started modeling first. I had Instagram and all that stuff and was trying to build something before I even started TikTok. And that's when I was still trying to figure out who the hell I was. Yeah. I didn't even know if I was gonna do videos or comedy or just try to do modeling. I had no idea. So I tried the fitness modeling first and it was like 90% men.
Yeah.
But just now, like where I'm at with the more of the comedic content and all that stuff, it's more 50-50, which is so nice. I'm so glad.
I'm sure you get messages from a lot of girls, especially with the dancing stuff.
Yeah,
like, I'm sure you inspire a lot of people.
I do. And it's a really good reminder of why I do it. Because I'm not going to lie, there's some days I wake up and I'm like, why the hell do I do this to myself? Like, this sucks. But I mean, I love it. But at the same time, you know, there's a part of me that just doesn't want to do it all the time. You know, it does get exhausting emotionally and all that. But it's those messages that remind me of why I do it to begin. Because it's not even all girls. Like, I've had a couple dads slide into my DM and say, you know, I have two girls, you know, and they really look up to you. And I just appreciate somebody who doesn't just go on and try to fit a mold. You know, you're so like 100% yourself. And it's a positive thing, because I feel like that's so rare nowadays. Everyone's trying to fit into this mold with the trends and all that stuff. And I don't want to be that, you know. I want people to be able to be individuals and unique and weird in their own beautiful way.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's been good. It's really rewarding at the end of the day.
Yeah, it definitely, you have to be authentic.
You do.
You have to be real. And that's something that whenever we have artists come on here and whatnot, that's something that the artists talk about in their music careers. And it's not that different from what you're having to do. In terms of like content and brands, and how does that work too with like the brand deal side? Because like I'm buddies with a lot of guys and girls that do this thing, and like that's a part of how you make your money.
Yeah. Brands has been an up and down for me, just because of the fact that I don't, like I said, I do not do anything that doesn't fit my brand. Like if you are like makeup and stuff like that, you know, I'll accept free product. But when it comes to like videos and stuff, that's just not my brand.
It's
not
your thing. And that's okay. Because that's somebody else's thing.
Exactly. Which with the beauty industry, it's a lot bigger for females than comedy. So when it comes to brands, I am a very specific taste for most brands. You know, so I've done like, I did a huge brand deal with Voodoo IPA, and that was right up my alley. I was like, yes, you know, and whiskey and like Sugarlands Distillery, all of them, you know, that's kind of like my niche. You know, I did one for Bulletproof Hitches, and I'm like, I don't think I'd ever seen a girl do like a brand deal for like hitches, but here I am with my little, this was my old truck, and I'm just like, look at this hitch, you know, and I wasn't even like using it at the time, so I didn't even know what was going on. But I'm definitely a very specific taste when it comes to brands. But it's good because I don't want to go out of that niche, you know. That's kind of what I'm trying to grow. And then obviously I really got into the music scene here in Nashville was because of I worked with a lot of label groups promoting their artists.
Yeah, doing the song thing. Because like I had Demps on here once, and Demps talked about how she started really doing that during COVID, and where labels will reach out and do that. And that's a huge part of everybody's marketing plan now.
Very much. Yeah. That's a lot of the reason I actually chose to move to the Nashville area was because I was making that 8-hour commute every time I got invited to a VIP event for these label groups, because I wanted to be involved. You know, marketing's huge when you're in the social media industry. And so I was like, you know what, I'm gonna just move there. And so that's what I did. And then I stayed. But that was mainly why I moved to this specific area, was because of the events and everything with the label groups.
Have you had like a favorite artist or like a song where you've gotten to be a part of the marketing of it? One that stands out in the promotion side where you're like, it's cool to see this guy or this girl kind of take off and getting to be a small part of it.
Gosh, I've done so many. I can't even. There was one that I'd have to pull up that I remember doing. I did do one for Why am I blanking?
Was it a guy or a girl?
Gosh. Well, it was a girl. Who was it for? I don't remember. Tough. But it was something like, it was around hunting and all that stuff. And it's when I get songs like that where I'm like, okay, I can use this. This is my day-to-day life. Yeah. You know, like, I got this. But I've done so many now, and I feel like with these smaller artists especially, it's so cool watching those songs go viral on social media. Because I'm always like, I kind of feel like, yes, I kind of helped, but not really, but go girl, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so exciting. And I've met so many cool people because of it. And I can't remember.
Have you done music videos and stuff too?
Oh, yeah. I've actually been doing a lot of music videos lately. Yeah.
What have been some of those?
So I actually just did one with Jake Banfield.
Oh, nice.
Yep. I did two for him the other day, like literally 2 days ago. And then I did Miami and Tennessee. What was the other one? Oh my gosh. I don't know if you saw the one with the ATVs and everything, but it's Girls Are Pretty, Ryan and Rory.
Oh no, I haven't seen that one.
Yep, just did that one. That was so fun. I got paid to just drive ATVs for like an hour. It was dope. And I went, oh my gosh, it was so funny. Because, you know, whenever I go somewhere, you know, chaos comes with me. I've come to find out, no matter where I'm at, even on set. And so I'm driving these ATVs, and you know me, I'm like God complex. So I want to do something cool. And I go and take the turn a little too sharp, and I went on two wheels. I thought I was going to die that day. Everybody got it on B-roll. It was great. But, yeah, I think I saw the Golden Gates for a second. I'm not going to lie. I almost crashed that ATV, but it was so good. It was so fun. Turned out
that's really wild. Yeah. So now living in Nashville for as long as you have, mm-hmm. where have been some of your favorite spots that you like going to?
Well, definitely Palace.
Yes. Yeah, I know. That's home. That's home. Do you hang out at like Scoreboards and Music City?
I do like Scoreboards. I do like Scoreboards. Yes, quite a bit. I'm more of a Midtown girly.
Okay.
I do not go to Broadway unless you yank me by my hair. But I feel like that's very common with locals, though. Yes. Like once you live here, you're just like been there, done that.
Yeah, I did my time there. I used to, when I first moved to town, mm-hmm. I worked at Whiskey Row. I was a bouncer there for a year.
Yeah.
And after doing a year downtown, I'm like, I don't need to be down there.
There's
so many bars now down there. It's like
so many.
2018, it was different. Yeah, it was like Whiskey Row, FGL House, Crazy Town, where Miranda's is now. Like mm-hmm. Kid Rock's hadn't even opened yet.
Yeah, you know? Yeah,
it was
a
little different down there.
No, but like Losers, like those older, smaller bars that aren't right downtown in Broadway. Those are my deal. I love
Losers,
those.
Red Door.
Yes, Red
we
Door.
We just started doing our stuff at Odie's. I don't know if you've been in there or not.
Yep.
It's a big space. You can definitely dance in there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of room in that spot, which we're excited about.
I love it. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. The root beer shots at Red Door?
Yeah. Yeah, those will get you.
They will get
those
you.
Those will get you for sure.
So
what's
good.
It been like now, you talked about not have like growing up and feeling like you're not in the spot where you're maybe meant to be, and
mm-hmm.
having not a huge amount, like a large friend group and things like that, not being like one of the popular kids or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What's it been like now being in a town with so many creators and so many music people and everybody kind of chasing their dreams?
Yeah.
I feel like you would identify more with mm-hmm. folks that are living here in town.
No, 100%. Because I feel like we all kind of come from a similar story.
Yeah.
You know, you grow up and you're trying to figure out who the hell you are, you know, and that's a lot for a kid, you know, especially when you know, I feel like everyone misconstrues being uncomfortable with like, no, I'm just uncomfortable because of this, this, and this. And they try to make life changes. But I think that a lot of people don't realize it's because you're meant to do something more.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that I finally figured that out like when I hit 20. But it was just, man, like growing up, people were mean to me, you know. And again, I was a pushover, so I kind of let it. I'm not going to lie to you. I 100% was like, yeah, being mean to me is cool. I'm still going to respect you the next day, you know. And so I did get bullied quite a bit growing up, which was really hard. I was one of the outcast kids, you know, which let me tell you, there is no better friend group than the outcast kids. They are the dopest people you ever meet.
Yeah.
They're so fun. Anyway, so growing up was really hard, but then coming here and finally figuring out who the hell I was, it's so cool because, like you said, I'm around all of these people who have worked their ass off. Everyone is working so hard to just finally settle into who they are, find their niche, and make it. You know, because they probably got told when they were younger, you know, you're not gonna be able to do it. It's such a big industry. What makes you think that you're gonna be any different or any better? Or, you know, it is such a big industry.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so cool to be around people. And I feel like for once, I'm like, I have a community that actually understands.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't have that growing up at all.
Yeah, there's something special about the Nashville family.
It's so special. It is so, so special.
And you're in a great family being around like the Josh crew.
Yes.
Like that was, I'm so glad that we were able to pop in there last night.
I know.
We had told him we would meet him at Red Door, but he said he was going to be at Live Oak till it closed. And I'm all right, our thing's done. Let's get down to Live Oak. And I got to do a stage intro because that was where we used to host our events. I hosted at Live Oak for like 5 years was where I was where I did all my stuff.
Yeah,
so
it
was good to get back on that stage and I could drop a couple F-bombs and
hell
say
yeah.
I was like, I'm at the Josh Terry night at Live Oak. I can say whatever the hell I want.
Yep. No, I love Josh. And I feel like because we connect so much, I think, because we are just so outward people.
Yeah.
Like we speak our mind, you know, we do what we want to do.
And there's a way that you can speak your mind and be that loud personality while still helping people and being a good person.
Exactly.
Like Josh is the definition of degenerate, loud, chaos.
Yep.
But a good person.
Exactly.
If you're good to Josh Terry, he'll give you the shirt off his back.
He will.
A little sweaty when he gives it to you.
Yeah.
But
he'll
give you the shirt off his back.
Yes. I don't want to embarrass him, but man, he said the sweetest thing to me yesterday. Now, granted,
he was saying a lot of sweet stuff yesterday.
Were,
yeah.
He
was in it.
Happy birthday, Josh.
Yes.
you were feeling it. But I remember him coming up to me and he was just like, you know, there's something about you, girl. You're just so genuine, you know, like you don't meet a lot. And I'm just sitting there and I'm just like, ah, you know, there was that saying, like drunk sayings or like sober thoughts or something like
drunk
that.
Drunk words or sober
yes,
thoughts.
Yes, yes. Yep. And I was just like, I know he means it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's just so sweet and he would do anything for you.
Yeah.
Like genuinely. And you don't meet a lot of people like that, especially I feel like in this industry, you know, it's very hard because I have met quite a few influencers where, you know, you see one version of them on social media and then you meet them in person and you're like, who is this?
It's not the same guy or the same girl.
It's not. And that's another thing that I take pride in. And I'm like, what you see on social media is me. When you see me in person, it's probably the same thing times 10.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Like you're only seeing half of it, you know, just wait. It gets better. But that's so important to me is that authenticity. You know?
And Josh surrounds himself people like that.
Does.
Like you were hanging out with Alyssa and Mama Hale. Yeah. Mama Hale's a legend.
God, I love her.
She is one of my favorites. I think if I ever do get Alyssa on here, I'm gonna have to have Mama Hale sitting in that
100%.
Chair. Like they'd have to be on together.
Yes, I love Mama Hale. I met Alyssa and Mama Hale when I went to the Josh Terry podcast. I walked in and there were a bunch of people, and they were two of them, and we did the whole podcast. And I just remember Mama Hale coming up. Do you need a drink? Do you want anything? And from that moment on, I was like, I have been adopted.
Yes.
I am her daughter now officially. Yeah. And it was actually kind of funny because last night I got hit on and I didn't know how to get out of it. the guy stands up and asks for my last name. And I'm sitting there trying to think of a last name that's not actually my last name that makes sense with my first name. And Mama Hale sitting right next to me, she goes, her last name's Hale. She's actually my daughter. And so this man, I see him, he's like,
Oh, shit.
Hi, Mama. So nice to meet you. And he got out so fast. Yeah. And I was like, That's my mama.
That's what she's there for.
That's my mama. Mm-hmm. Yep,
that's what she's there for.
I love her.
Yeah. Does it get weird? I would imagine it gets weird in the DMs and shit.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I've heard Alyssa tell some crazy stories. Mm-hmm.
I've
heard female artists, just girls that I know, that get... It's becomes a little crazy.
I hate to say it's gross, but it is. It is. You know, I think there is an appropriate way to get flirty in a DM, you know, and that's fine.
That's how me and my girlfriend got together, actually, funny enough.
There you go.
She replied to a story laughing, and I was like, oh, who's this? And
then
we connected through that, and we've been together ever since, you know?
Yeah, so there's a respectful way to do it. Yeah. Now, granted, I probably still won't answer it, but at least I will leave with some respect. But a lot of it is just, I feel like, you know, you're behind a screen, you can say whatever the hell you want, because it's not to my face, right?
Yeah.
It gets vulgar up in my DMs. It's scary out there. And it's hard because I get like 20 plus a day, you know, so I'm constantly going in and clearing, but I've kind of come to learn that I just don't even open them anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I've gotten pictures in my DMs that I didn't want to see. I remember back when my mom was my momager.
Oh, and she was logged in.
She was logged in. So she saw all my DMs. And I remember one of my videos on TikTok that actually went big was because I said to the guy that sent a photo of his, you know, I put say sorry to my mama because she was the one that had to see it. Yeah. And it went huge on TikTok. And I was just like, that is the world we're in. I get it in my email too.
Oh, jeez.
They'll send like, I'm just like, oh my
God. Does anybody ever show up at places too? Like, have you had weird...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just had one. It was kind of weird. It got a little scary. Changed my phone number, all that stuff. So.
Dang.
Yeah. But that's how I'm like.
Like, it's not hard to just be a good person and not be weird.
It's not. It isn't. But again, I just feel like with social media, it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
It kind of gives these people a sense of invincibility, I think.
Yeah.
And then they kind of take it. Like, if once they get real confident, they're like, I can do this in person now. And then they take it a little too far.
And it's no, you can't.
No, no.
Like, you're a person.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to talk to a person the way you would talk to any person.
Exactly.
That's
we're all human beings. We all shit, okay? Like, we're human beings. We put our feet one leg at a time into our jeans. Like, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of crazy. It blows my mind. I try not to think too much into it, though, because I'm like, I don't want to believe people are just really that weird. But
no, and what makes it worth it for you is, like you talk about, where a dad reaches out. And normally, if a girl in your position says that a dad reached out to you, it's one thing.
Yeah.
But for him to say that my daughters look up to you, like you're a badass.
Yeah.
I want my little girls to be badasses like you.
Yeah.
Those comments outweigh
100%
the bad messages.
100%. I remember I got a message a long time ago. It was right after I left, or I got off the show, and it was a guy, and he essentially said that he's been having a really hard time, you know, just very depressed, very lonely.
Yeah.
And he's like, but your videos like make me smile at the end of the day. And I remember just bawling my eyes out. Cause you know, I've been there. I've had quite a long mental health journey,
yeah.
You know? So I know from experience how that might feel. And to have that one thing that makes you laugh at the end of the day,
yeah.
You know, and it's just, it totally outweighs everything else about this industry that's not so pretty.
Yeah. Have you tried doing like stand up and like popped up and done that? Because Nashville, as much as we are a music city, yep. And a creator entertainment city, mm-hmm. The comedy scene here is booming.
It's huge. I actually got invited out to do a stand up show in San Diego and Arizona. It was supposed to be last year. I ended up canceling it last minute because I had just gotten out of a very toxic relationship and I didn't want my whole entire set to be about the toxic relationship I was just in. And I tend to speak about my recent experiences.
Yeah, just like a songwriter.
Exactly. And I was kind of just like mentally, I don't think I'm in a good state to go up there and just spew my whole entire relationship to everybody for my first stand-up routine.
Well, you should try it here in town. Like, there's so many great open mics that are here.
Yeah.
And like Zany's is a huge spot. And all that. It's funny, my girlfriend, my Erin, she, when I first met her, she was doing some stand-up stuff in addition to her career that she does and everything. And she got to know like Dusty Slay and Nate Bargatze and like all those guys.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's such a welcoming community. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you'll come across some weirdos there, but I think it's definitely something you should try.
100%. I still remember Ginger Billy followed me. Do you know Ginger Billy?
No, but I feel like I should.
You need to know him. Yeah. You need to know him. Give him a follow. He's a comedian and he's very redneck. Love him to pieces. But he followed me. And I think that was the first time where I was like, damn, that is a comedian that like I would love to aspire to be one day. He is so funny, but he just uses his country bumpkin attitude to be like so redneck in his stand up and everything, and I just love him. He's a great dude. You need to check him out.
Yeah, like you would crush it like going on like a Kill Tony or something like that.
Oh yeah. I've watched a few Kill Tonys. Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
So what's on the horizon as far as like, it's crazy that we're almost done with this year, but what are some of our goals for 2026, like for the future of the Autumn? Now, do you go by Autumn Ann on all the socials, or is it Autumn Ann Nielsen?
Autumn Ann. Yep. That's what my mama and my daddy used to call me whenever they were mad at me, but we don't talk about it. Autumn Ann. And I was like, oop, but it became my name now, so we're good.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get more into the acting scene. That's my ultimate goal, is to get more into the acting scene, start doing more film acting opportunities, all of that stuff. But obviously I would love to keep up with the social media. I don't think that's going to die anytime soon. Just get my name out there even more. I just feel like I have so much more to say to so many more people that I have yet to reach. And then ultimately at the end of the day, my next goal is to buy a plot of land and live out of my camper and just build.
If you got a camper, that's a huge thing for a festival too.
Yeah.
You know, most of these festivals have spots where you can bring the camper.
Yep. You're set. My mama's got two vintage campers back home, and she's like, anytime you need the campers, just let me know. They're sitting here. Of course, one's completely unlivable.
Yeah.
The whole floor is gone. But anyway, we don't talk about it. But yeah, so I got the camper options. Like I said, I ranched out in Missouri and I lived out of a camper, you know, and all I did was work sun up to sundown with cattle and horses and all that stuff. And there's just something about camper living that I just love, because I tend to have more stuff than I truly need.
Yeah.
But when I was living in the camper, I had 4 shirts, 4 jeans, and like my Carhartt overalls. That was it.
Yeah.
You know, and there's something so simple and like lovely about that. It's just so nice. But I want to build on a big plot of land.
Yeah.
One day.
Oh, there's plenty of land out in the outskirts.
I know.
Out here in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we stay in campers. I'll be in a camper in a little over a month, because some of the festivals that we go to, they give me and our video guy, Ike, a camper backstage where the artists are, because we do bits with the artists and to get to the stage and everything.
Yeah.
I'll just be in a camper for a few days. It's fun. They're nice campers, too. So they hook us up with, like, the nice
ones.
The high level.
Oh,
yeah.
Where
I look up the price, I'm like, why are they putting me in this? Like, I do not deserve this.
Yeah, no, I can't relate. The camper I was in, I remember I had to get up, and there was snow on the ground, and my breaker kept going out.
Oh, geez.
And so I'd have to get up in the morning, put my robe on, walk outside in the snow in my slippers, go try to figure it out every morning, and never failed. But I don't know. There's just something about it. I cooked a whole Thanksgiving dinner in that camper.
Wow.
I know. It took me all day. I started first thing in the morning because you have just one stove with one tiny little rack, you know, and it fits one pan. And it took me all day long. And then we had to reheat all the food come actual dinner time because everything been sitting out for like 8 hours. But so fun. I love it.
That's wild. So that's fun. Awesome. Well, hey, thank you so much for coming on here hanging out. So, and anything we can ever do with Raised Rowdy, I think now that you're in town, come hang out at our events.
I got you.
And we're going to hook you up with some of the Surfside.
So good.
Going to hook you up with the green teas.
Yes.
You a caffeine person?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So the green teas, they have some extra caffeine in them because it's got the natural caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only like the 2 grams of sugar, like 3 carbs. Like they're very crushable. So we're going to hook you up with an 8-pack of those. And I got a bunch of hats over there. So feel free to grab whatever you want over
there.
All
right,
and everybody can find you on
at Automan Official on Instagram and TikTok.
None of the fake accounts, because I'm sure there's a couple.
God, there's so many. If it does not have a blue check mark on Instagram, it's not me. And on TikTok, you will know it's me. Okay. Don't be going to them fan accounts that are like, yo, go to my second account, babe. It's not me. I can't.
Well, y'all be sure to check out our girl Autumn Ann. Be on the lookout for all the funny stuff, all the fitness stuff, all the dancing stuff. And thank you again, sis, for coming on.
Of course, anytime.
Welcome to the Raised Rowdy family.
Woo!
Happy to have you here. And for more on us, visit RaisedRowdy.com. Shout out Surfside. No bubbles, no troubles. It's not a seltzer. It is a surf surf. My girl Autumn Ann, I'm Matt Burrell. This has been Outside the Round.
Been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just make them leave. So if you